You'll get to stand by yourself then. This is our daughter, Jennifer. For those of you who don't know Jen. And our other daughter, Stephanie, is here as well. It's been great to have them with us visiting for the weekend. Jennifer and Stephanie both live in Seattle. Jennifer is engaged to be married in just a couple of months. So that's awesome. And Stephanie and her husband serve on staff at a great church up in the Seattle area. They have one son. His name is Xander, and they're raising him up to love Jesus and love the Seahawks. And so, so it's awesome. Yeah. And so it's great to have Stephanie and Jennifer with us. Also, I want to recognize another couple that's very dear to us, Lance and Rochelle Loveland. Could you guys stand? We want to welcome you this morning. Good to see you. Pastor Lance and Rochelle. Pastor Lance and Rochelle were part of our church family for so many years, served in leadership here at our church, and it's always great to be able to have them back with us. I want to say a big, big thank you to all of you who participated last Sunday, Easter Sunday. All of you great volunteers, all you people that helped all over the place, from the worship team to those of you who worked with kids last week, to our ushers and greeters. It takes a whole lot of people every Sunday, but especially Easter Sunday, as we have two services and more people here. And so huge thank you to all of you for your help. Last Sunday, we had about 25 individuals that raised their hand to receive Christ into their life. So praise the Lord for that. And I get to be the one that leads them in that prayer, preaches the sermon, gets to lead them in that prayer. But really, you all have a part of that through your prayers, through your serving. So thank you all so much. We couldn't do it without you, and that's the truth. And I want to welcome you all here this morning. This is the first of our first message in our campaign, What on Earth Am I Here For? And this is going to be a 6-week adventure for us, and I'm glad that you're here to be on the ground level, to be here for the very first Sunday of this. I'm so excited for this journey, because we're going to be answering one of life's biggest questions. And one of life's biggest questions is this: why am I here? Why am I here? Such an important question for us to know the answer to. Because you'll find in life that answering the big questions in your life is going to help you with all the other questions. You know, every day of your life, you answer thousands of questions. You might not realize it, but you do. A lot of little questions every single day of your life. Should I do this? Shouldn't I do it? Should I say this? Should I keep my mouth shut? All right? Should I go here? Should I go there? Should I eat this? Should I not eat it? Who should I vote for? What should I say in this particular situation? What should I do? Thousands and thousands of questions every single day that you're thinking through without even thinking about it. And life can be really confusing because we don't always know the answers to those questions. But here's what I found. I have found when I answer the questions that are the big questions in my life, when I have those answers, all of the other questions become a lot easier to answer. And certainly, why am I here is one of the biggest questions that you're going to face in your life. And until you understand that, until you understand your purpose, there's going to be a lot of confusion, and we're going to make a lot of mistakes along the way. It's so important that we understand why we are here. Why? What is our purpose? So as a little object lesson, I have my iPad up here this morning, and this iPad serves a lot of purposes. And it's important for me to understand what the purpose of the iPad is and what I'm not to use it for. So this iPad is great for, I keep my notes on here for Sunday mornings, Wednesday nights. Usually when I'm teaching, I'm using notes off my iPad. I keep my daily schedule on here. I keep my advanced calendar on here. I keep my to-do list on my iPad. I can take notes when I'm in a meeting. It gives me access to the internet so I can do research. I can listen to music and podcasts. And all of these things are great uses for the iPad. However, there are some things that I could use the iPad for that I probably shouldn't. But I could. I could use my iPad for a Frisbee if I wanted to. I could use it for a doorstop. If I have a nail that I need to drive and there's no hammer around, I could use my iPad if I wanted to. The problem is my iPad really isn't good at any of those things, and I'm probably going to break it if I try to use it for one of those things, right? Because I'm using it for something that it's not intended for. Well, there's a lot of people like that with their lives. They don't really understand what their life is about. They don't really understand their purpose, so they're involved in a bunch of stuff that really has nothing to do with their God-given purpose. And not only does it make it so it's confusing for them, but they're actually doing damage to their lives along the way because their life has become about stuff that it's not supposed to be about. Someone once put it this way, I like this, a person without a purpose is like a ship without a rudder. And it's so true. We're just kind of meandering, just kind of wandering. So this morning, we're going to start exploring this topic, what I'm here for, what am I here for? And we're going to start with this thought this morning because I want us all to understand that this is for every one of us. I want every one of us to get this, that you have a purpose. You have a God-given call and purpose in your life. So I don't want you to be thinking, well, this is really for somebody else. No, this is for all of us. And as we go through this morning, we're going to be using this book right here, the Bible, because the Bible is God's instruction book for life for us. I just kind of figure God is the creator of life. He's the giver of life. He's the one that made it all, so he's got the answers about why we're here. Amen? Like if you want to know how something works, the best way to answer the question about how something works is you talk to the inventor. And the inventor is the very best person to tell you how something works. Well, God's the creator. He's the best one to answer the question, why am I here? What is life all about? And have you ever been following like an instruction manual? You're putting something together and you got parts and pieces everywhere. You're going through the instruction manual and then it dawns on you that the person that wrote this manual has never actually put this thing together. Right? You're like, there's no way this person that wrote this actually has ever done this. Well, I want you to know that's not true of the Bible, and it's not true of God. God actually has done it, because that's why Jesus came into this world, amen? He actually has lived this life. He knows what it's all about, and he is the one that has written the most perfect manual for life for us in his book, the Bible. It's God's inspired word. So we're going to depend on the Bible a lot in these next 6 weeks. A very famous Bible verse is where we're going to start. This is a favorite verse of many people. It's Romans chapter 8 and verse 28, which says, "And we know that in all things God works for the good for those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose." Now, a lot of times people focus on the first half of this verse. We know that all things, God works together for good for those who love him. A lot of times we focus on that part of the verse. This morning, I want us to focus on the second part of the verse where it says, who have been called according to his purpose. Two key words there. I want you to circle them, the word called and the word purpose. You have a call in your life. And you have a purpose in your life. So circle those two words and draw a line between them because they're connected to one another, your call and your purpose. Now, an interesting thing about this word call, the Greek word actually kind of sounds like the English word. It's the word kaleo, kaleo, that's your calling. And it's used a lot of times in the New Testament. It's found over 100 times in the Bible. And almost every time, it refers to the call of God upon our lives, that God has a purpose for us. It's your mission. It's your reason for being. So God has a call upon your life. The Latin word, this is kind of interesting, for this very same word call, is a word vocare, or voke, and we get all kinds of English words out of that, like voice, vocal. So you see the connection there between a call, voice, vocal, and another word, vocation. Vocation comes out of this word. The problem is that word vocation has come to mean for many people your job or your career. So a lot of people, when they're asked, what are you here for? What's your life all about? They refer to their vocation, to their job. Well, I'm a banker. I'm a lawyer. I'm a plumber. I'm a pastor. And they narrow really what their life is all about because they see their life as being no more than their career. But what I want us to understand this morning is that your life is about a lot more than what the world says your life is about. That God has a call. God has a vocation for you. And that is a lot bigger way to think about your life. Should you show up for work? Absolutely. Is that the whole picture? Absolutely not. The picture of your life is a much bigger picture than just your job or your vocation. So I want to give you 8 things, and if you got a bulletin this morning, you got a nice little note thing to take notes in, and there's some fill in the blanks, and I want you to get started doing that because I want you to get in the practice of taking notes. So those in your bulletin, we gave 1 per bulletin, so you'll just know this for next Sunday. There's going to be extras out on the information table. So if both of you, you come in as a couple and you only get 1 bulletin, if both of you want the notes, then you can grab those from out in the front. Because I know if both of you just have 1, I know the husband's going to hog the note-taking, and I don't want to see that happen. And so, number 1 in your notes, all right? Number 1 in your notes. My calling is a gift from God. My calling is a gift from God. It's a gift from God. It's not something you earn, you don't deserve, you don't work for it, you don't barter for it. It's just flat out a gift. It's grace. Grace is the fact that God knows everything about us. He knows every flaw, every failure, every mistake from our past. God knows everything about us, and He still loves us. He still has a plan for our lives. It's the grace of God. It's a gift of God, your calling. So God gives you a call in your life simply because that's what He does. That's who He is. It's not because of anything we do. It's not because of anything we deserve. He just gives us a call in our lives because He loves us. It's His grace. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 9 and 10 says this: God has saved us and called us to a holy life. He has saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we have done, but because of His own purpose and grace. This grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time, but it has now been revealed through the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ Jesus, who has destroyed death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. So the scripture really ties together what we celebrated last week, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. It ties that together, the power of that together, with what we're talking about this week, the purpose of God, the call of God. The two things are connected. Our purpose, our calling, is established in the cross and in the resurrection of Jesus. It's established in the grace of God. Not in our earning it, not in our deserving it. So I don't want you to think, well, this applies to someone who's a lot better person than me. No, we're talking about grace here. We're talking about not deserving this, but God does it anyway. It's the call of God, and it applies to every one of you. Your calling is a gift from God. But there's a second thing you need to understand about your calling. This is really important. I am called, in your notes, I am called for God's purposes. I am called for God's purposes. Not my own purposes, God's purposes. You're not called for your own plan. You're called for God's plan for your life. God didn't make you and die on a cross for you and save you just so you could live some kind of selfish, self-centered, me life. Are you kidding me? God saved you for so much more than that. God saved you for himself, for his glory. So you are called in your life to live for the purposes of God. You were made by God, and you were made for God. And life is never going to make sense if you make it about yourself. If you make your life about self, you're always going to be disappointed. You've got to understand that your life is about the purposes of God. I'm called for God's purpose. So it's not my plan, it's God's plan. It's not my desires, it's God's desires. It's his purposes in my life. A good example of this can be found in an Old Testament story. It's a story of two twins called Jacob and Esau. So there's a guy in the Bible by the name of Abraham. He had a son by the name of Isaac. Isaac had these twin sons, Jacob and Esau. Now, in Bible times, it was really the eldest son that mattered. He was the one that counted. And in this case, that person was Esau. He was the older of the two twins. When they were born, he was the one that came out first. And in those days, it was all about the elder. The elder was going to receive twice as much inheritance. He was going to have all of the authority. He was going to get all of the accolades. It was all going to be poured upon him. He was going to be the head of the family. Now, if you were the second son, you were okay and you were still loved, but you weren't the first son. All right? But in Jacob and Esau's case, interesting thing, God wanted to show them that he had a plan for both of them. And while Jacob was the second one born, what God said about Jacob, it was that Jacob was going to be like the firstborn. And that Esau was going to serve him. Now that was totally contrary to the way things were done back then, but this was God's plan. Romans chapter 9 says this, and this is something God told their mother, Rebekah. God said, before the two boys were born, it says, God told Rebekah, the older will serve the younger. The total opposite of the culture. You see, the culture would have said one thing about Jacob's life, but God said something else about Jacob's life. And I want you to know that about your life. The culture might say one thing about your life, but God is the one that has the final say in your life. Amen? Yeah. This is the call of God and God's purpose in our life. You know, before I ever became a pastor, I never wanted to be a pastor. It's not what I would have chosen for myself. Now, I was a youth pastor for 7 years. I loved being a youth pastor. Loved it. But the whole time, people would ask, hey, are you going to pastor your own church? And I would always say, no way. Not interested, not this guy, not me. And I thought probably when I was done being a youth pastor, I thought I'd probably go back, and I had just finished earning my master's degree. I thought I'm going to go get my PhD and I'm going to teach at a university, or I'm going to go into missions because I really have such a heart for people around the world hearing the gospel. I thought for sure my life would be about one of those two things when I was done being a youth pastor. But then God started to really work on my heart. And God started to say, Tim, you and Janice are called to be pastors. I'm calling you. I'm calling you to be a pastor. And to be honest with you, I kind of wrestled with God about that for a while. But then Janice and I both prayed this prayer that we had prayed actually several times in our lives. We just prayed something like this: God, our lives belong to you. We will do whatever you ask us to do. We will go wherever you ask us to go. And as we prayed that prayer and just re-surrendered our hearts and our futures to the Lord, God made it so clear to us that we were to be pastors. And that was 27 years ago. And now looking back on it, I can honestly just say, Lord, I thank you so much for your call upon my life, because you've blessed me. You've blessed my life because I followed your call. I'm doing something I would have never saw myself doing, but God saw it. So I want you to know God has a call upon your life. If you will live for his purposes, you will follow that call. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10 says this. It says, we are God's handiwork. created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. So it says you're God's handiwork. Another interesting Greek word here. The word handiwork there is the word poema, Greek word poema, and we get our English word poem from that. You are God's poem. You are God's masterpiece. You are God's work of art. You're his craftsmanship. God is the one making you, and he's making you into something beautiful, whether you see it or not. You might say, well, I don't feel like a masterpiece. I mean, I look at my life, and I feel more like junk than a masterpiece. Listen, I want you to know something. God doesn't make junk. And God made you. And Jesus didn't die for junk. But Jesus died for you. And God doesn't put his Holy Spirit in junk. But God put his Holy Spirit in you. Your life is God's masterpiece. You should get that. This is God's purpose. You are called for God's purposes in your life. And then it goes on to say, we are created in Christ Jesus to do good works. This is our contribution to the world. We're not placed here to just breathe in air and take up space. We're not here just to be consumers. We're to be contributors. We're to be givers. We're to give back. This is what God has put you here. God has put you here not to just be a consumer, but a contributor. And you make contributions to this world in different ways. It's the giftings God has placed in your life. And we're all different in that. We all have different kinds of gifts. God uses us all in unique, different ways. So that's a really, really cool thing. You don't have to try to be like somebody else. In fact, if you're trying to be like somebody else, you're going to miss it. Be what God has called you to be and do what God has called you to do. And then notice there, the last part about these good works, it says that God prepared in advance these good works. So that brings us to number three in our notes. God chose my calling before I was born. Before I was born. Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse 5, God says to Jeremiah, listen to this, before I shaped you in the womb, I knew all about you. Before you saw the light of day, I had holy plans for you. It's awesome. God called you even before you were born, and God uniquely shaped your life. You're a custom-made baby. Now, you might think to yourself, well, Tim, you don't know me, man. God made me. I got all kinds of flaws in my life. I got all kinds of shortcomings in my life. I am far from perfect. I want to show you a picture of a guy that I just admire so much. His name is Nick Vujicic. How many of you have heard of this guy? Yeah. Nick Vujicic, he's born with no arms and no legs. Now, I would think a lot of people who were born with no arms and no legs would just say, I don't know what my life's about. My life must not have any purpose. But that's not how this guy thinks. Nick Vujicic embraced how God made him. And he said, you know, there's a reason. There's a purpose for my life. There's a reason I am this way. And now Nick Vujicic travels all over the world telling people about purpose in their life and telling people about the love of Jesus. It's an awesome thing. So I want you to know, no matter what you think your flaws are, no matter what your shortcomings are, God has a plan for your life. Isaiah chapter 44 and verse 2 says this. God says, I am your creator. You were in my care even before you were born. Let's read that out loud together, beginning with a reference. Isaiah 44, 2. I am your creator. You were in my care even before you were born. That verse says some great things. It lets us know that we have a creator. God is our creator. That God cared about us even before we were born. You look at a verse like this, by the way, and this is why abortion is a sin. Because it contradicts everything God is about. Life is sacred and it's from God. Amen? No one's life is an accident. right? Your life is not an accident. No child is an accident. There are accidental parents, but no accidental babies. You get that? Right? There are accidental parents, but there are no accidental children. God knows us even before we were born. Now, here's what we're going to do. This is part of our six-week journey. Every week we're going to have a memory verse. And everybody said? Everybody said? Everybody said? Amen. Okay, you know I'm not going to quit until it gets louder, right? Every week we're going to have a memory verse. This is this week's memory verse, and I love this. I love this, and this is why it's important to remember God's word. It's so powerful. I really could care less if you remember anything I say, honestly. I mean, I put a lot of work into it. I pray for it. I don't care if you remember what I say, but I do care if you remember what God says. That's all that really matters. And so I'm excited about doing these memory verses. This is a really simple one. Everybody in this room, you can memorize this verse. It's only 14 words. Okay? Because I know some of you, memorization comes so easy for you. I mean, you've already got this verse memorized. Right? You're just like, you've got one of those memories. Some of you think, I can't memorize anything, and I want you to know that's a lie. Okay? You memorized your name. Right? You can memorize. And here's the deal. The devil doesn't want you to know you can memorize God's word because he hates that. He doesn't want you to know God's word. He doesn't want you to know what God says about you. So he's going to lie to you and make you think you can't memorize God's word. You can memorize God's word. Now, some of us are in a position where in our past, when we are younger Christians, we memorize all kinds of verses. Then somewhere along the way, we stop memorizing verses. Anybody here like that? Okay, thanks for being honest. Lots of us. We used to memorize scripture like crazy, and then at some point, we just kind of stopped doing that. And that's a shame, really. It's a shame. We should all, our whole lives, want to remember God's word. And so we're going to do this journey together, and we're going to memorize these scriptures together. And one of the best ways to memorize a verse is the first thing, the most difficult part to remember is the address, where it's at, right? Isaiah 44:2. Everybody say that? Isaiah 44:2. So we're going to say Isaiah 44:2 before and after this verse to get that in our minds. Isaiah 44:2. Now, here's an important thing to remember about memorizing scriptures. You need to say them out loud if you want to memorize them. Because you remember with your hearing, not with your eyes. You remember things with your ears, not with your eyes. You can read something over and over and over and over again and not memorize it. That's why some of you think you can't memorize anything, because you're doing it the wrong way. If you want to memorize something, say it over and over and over and over again. Keep reading it. Keep saying it. And you'll find you'll be able to memorize with your ears a lot better than trying to memorize with your eyes. Okay, so again, let's say this out loud together, beginning with a reference. Isaiah 44:2. I am your creator. You were in my care even before you were born. Where is it? Isaiah 44:2. Let's do it again. Isaiah 44:2. I am your creator. You were in my care even before you were born. Okay? Now, great. Okay, now, take it off the thing. Okay? Take off the thing. Okay? No looky-looky at your notes. Okay? Let's try this together. Isaiah 44:2. I am your creator even before you were born. 44:2. Awesome! Look at that! Look at that! Okay. Now, the other thing about memory work is this. You got to review. Because you could say that right now and not be able to say it after church. or tomorrow morning. But if you will say that verse, I'm guaranteeing, if you will say that verse all week long, every day, just keep several times a day, keep saying that verse, keep reading that verse, you're going to have it memorized by next Sunday. Okay? And we've given you a little tool. We've got a little tool. We've got these little key tag things with all the memory verses. There's all of the memory verses for the whole series are on there. And so you can carry that in your pocket or your purse. You can take that with you wherever you go. And then all week long, you can review that memory verse. All right? And at the end, you'll have all of them on there and be able to review all of them. All right? So, for some of you, how many of you, that's the first Bible verse you've ever memorized in your entire life? Raise your hand. It's your first verse you ever, congratulations, good job. Awesome. Yeah, you're on your way. Okay, I got to get through these next few points really fast here. Okay, number four. This is important. My sins and mistakes, my mistakes don't change my call. My sins and my mistakes don't change my call. I'm so glad for this one. How many of you would admit that you've messed up at some point in your life, right? And a lot of us, we think, well, there goes the plan of God for my life because I've messed up. No. God's a lot bigger than that. He loves you a lot more than that. Your sins, your mistakes aren't going to change God's call in your life. A good example of this is found in the Apostle Paul in the Bible. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 12 and 13. Paul wrote this, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has given me strength, that he considered me trustworthy, appointing me to his service. So this is Paul saying, I thank God that he would consider me trustworthy, even though I was once a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent man. This was Paul's past. Says, I was a blasphemer. He blasphemed the name of Jesus. He was a persecutor of the church. He was a terrorist. He really was. He was targeting Christians, having them murdered, having them arrested, getting them fired from their jobs. This was Paul before he found Christ. And that didn't change God's plan. God still had a plan for Paul's life. It's an amazing thing. My sins and mistakes don't change God's call. When I was thinking about this, I thought about a guy by the name of Charles Colson, Chuck Colson. Now, Chuck Colson at one time was one of the most powerful, influential people in the world. He was an advisor to the President of the United States. And then he got up, caught up in this little thing called Watergate. How many of you have heard that? Heard of Watergate? Yeah. He got caught up in that. And he went to prison. But when he went to prison, he found Christ. And when he got out of prison, he knew he had to make a difference for people in prison. And God called him to start this great ministry called Prison Fellowship, which now is like in 150 nations around the world. And Charles Colson's life, even though it's way different from anything he would have thought it would be, it's impacted millions of people for Christ. Now, here's the deal. Prison Fellowship, the call of God on us, that was not God's plan B for his life. He might have thought, well, that's, you know, plan A has got to be, you know, being there right there with the president and being such a powerful place. No, plan A was what he's doing right now. I want you to know God doesn't have a plan B for your life. There's no plan B. Even though you've made mistakes in your past, I want you to know you're not a plan B Christian. God has you right where he wants you right now, serving him, his call upon your life. And then number five, and this is kind of related to number four, my calling is permanent. My calling is permanent. And here's what I mean by that. Not only is it true that my own personal sins and mistakes don't change my calling, it's also true that the things other people have done to me don't change God's calling upon my life. My call is permanent. Because some of you this morning, no doubt, you feel a little bruised and beaten up by life. Maybe you've had somebody who's hurt you, damaged you, someone who's abandoned you, walked out of your life. someone who's rejected you, betrayed you. Some of you in this place, you've been abused. You've been hurt deeply. Some of you, you've been raped. You've been wounded. And I want you to know this. I want you to know that I'm so, so sorry about what's happened in your life. But I also want you to know this. None of that changes how much God loves you, and none of that changes the fact that there's a call of God on your life, that you are special to Him. Your calling is permanent. The devil can't take that away from you. No person can take it away from you. You can't even take it away from yourself, because it's from God. The call of God on your life is absolutely permanent. Look at this. Romans chapter 11 and verse 29 says this: God's gifts and His call are irrevocable. God's gifts and His call are irrevocable. They can't be taken away. It's kind of like, have you ever had purchased something that later got recalled? Right? Maybe it was a car or a car seat or a crib or something, and then there's a recall on it and you got to take it back, right? And the reason there's a recall is somewhere, somebody somehow made a mistake, right? Somebody made a mistake. Someone didn't do their math right. Someone didn't check something. There was a mistake made, and now they got to bring them all back in. I want you to know this. There's no recall on God's plan for your life, because God doesn't make mistakes. His call on your life is irrevocable. It's irrevocable. Then another thing I want you to know about your calling is your calling is connected to others. Somehow, some way, the call of God upon your life is not just for you. It's always connected to other people. So you can never really fulfill the plan of God for your life without involving others. All right? God will still love you. God will still care for you. You won't fulfill God's purposes without connecting to other people. Your call is connected to community somehow, some way. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 27 says, "Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is part of it." You're the body of Christ, and each one of you is part of it. So it's kind of like your eyeball. Your eyeball is incredibly gifted, isn't it? I mean, it brings in light. It has a way of sending those messages that you're seeing through your eyeball. It relates that to your brain in a way that your brain can understand what you're seeing. Your eyeball is an amazing thing, but your eyeball outside of your eye socket, sitting on a desk, is useless. Now it does nobody any good, right? In fact, it's kind of gross, right? You have an ear. Your ear is amazing. Your ear can take sound waves and begin to interpret those sound waves, and it creates impulses that go to your brain. So your brain can actually organize what you're hearing. You can understand what people are saying. It's an amazing thing. But your ear, removed from your head, is worthless. Right? Your hand. Think about all the muscles in your hand, the nerves in your hand, all the muscles in your hand. How complex your hand is and has the ability to write and has the ability to do small things. And your hands are absolutely amazing. But a hand removed from the body is worthless. So God has gifted you and you're amazing. But apart from the body of Christ, it doesn't do anybody any good. You'll never fulfill your true call in life without connecting to the body of Christ. It's the truth. That's why we talk a lot around here about being in a small group. And Pastor Troy is going to tell us in just a moment about how to connect to a small group. Ephesians chapter 4, I'm going to skip that verse. Number 7. God empowers me to do what He calls me to do. God empowers me to do what He calls me to do. Okay? So whatever God calls you to do in life, God's going to give you the ability. God's going to give you the power. God's going to enable you to do what he has called you to do. God never calls us to do anything that he doesn't help us do it. Okay? So if he calls you to do something, he's going to empower you to do that. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 1, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. So see that the call of God upon your life is a lifestyle. It's not just a matter of knowing about it. You actually have to live it, and to live it, you're going to need God's help to do that. So this is why spending time with God every day is invaluable, why being in the Word of God is invaluable, why being in church. You need all of these resources that God provides for you because he's going to empower you through those things to live out your calling in life. And God has filled us with his Holy Spirit to empower us. Jesus said in John 16, all that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit, will receive from me what he will make known to you. So God fills us with his Holy Spirit to empower us for what he wants us to do. This is not, hey, look, this journey, what on earth am I here for? This is not like a series of self-help lectures. This is a spiritual thing. We can only do this with the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. God empowers us to do what he calls us to do. And then number eight. This is why I'm excited for this. There's a prize. There's a prize for living out my calling. There's a reward. There's a prize for living out my calling. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 14, I press on toward the goal. Press on toward the goal to win the prize. Everybody say prize. For which God has called me. So God's called you. There's a prize out there. He's called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. And then 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 12. Live your lives in a way that God would consider worthy, for he called you to do what? To share in his kingdom and glory. How many of you just say that is quite a call? God has called us to share in his kingdom and glory. And I could talk for a long, long time about what that means. Just simply put, everything that God has, all that he has, everything that he has waiting for us in heaven, it's all ours. That's what he's called us to. That is the prize. Not only the blessings of living the call of God every single day of our lives now, but there's this prize that God has out there to share in his eternal kingdom. So I want you to know, pursuing the call of God, pursuing the call of God, pursuing his purposes for your life, man, it is so worth it. It is so worth it. Get a hold of it. Get a hold of God's purposes and plan and call upon your life. So I want to invite you to join with me in this 6-week journey. Let's go after God with everything we have. Amen. Let's go after his purposes with everything we have. Now, in your notes, I want you to do this quickly. The very bottom of your notes, you'll see a thing there that says, my next step. My next step. I want you to take just a second because I want to pray with you about this. My next step. What is the next step for you in your life? Okay? For some of you, maybe it's making a commitment to Jesus. Maybe that's your next step. You know God's been there. He's been working on your life. He's been calling you. But now it's time for you to take that step of faith. Maybe for you, the next step for you is starting to study the Bible seriously. Maybe you've kind of taken God's word for granted and God is calling you to a closer, a deeper walk with him, and you're going to take Bible study more seriously. Maybe it's making a commitment to church. Maybe you kind of come to church when you feel like it, but if something else better comes up, you don't come to church and you're not really committed, you're not really involved. Maybe it's getting connected to a small group. Like you come on Sundays, but you don't really know anybody. Your next step is to actually connect with the body of Christ. Maybe for you, you just need a brand new start in your life. You just, simply put, you just tell God, I need to have a fresh start here in my spiritual life. Maybe that's what you want to write down. Whatever it is, I want you to take a moment right now. Maybe it's more than one thing, but write at least one thing. Here's my next step. What is my next step? And I don't care if you're a brand new Christian, not even a Christian yet, or you've been a Christian for 50 years, you have a next step to take. Because I want you to know, if you're 80 years old and you're still alive, God has a purpose and a call on your life. There's a reason you're still here. Amen? And I don't want you to stagnate. I don't want you to get bored with your Christian life. The Christian life is not, it's not dry and boring. It is full of life. Full of life. All right, so write down your next step. Write down your next step, because in just a moment, I'm going to pray with you about that. But first, Pastor Troy is going to come, and worship team, come on up. Pastor Troy is going to come and talk to us about how we get involved in a small group.
Yes, and we are so excited that today is our launch day, and maybe the next step for you is to stop by our tables out in the foyer and get signed up for one of the groups. We've got over 30 groups that are meeting various locations around the valley. At last count, we have over 260 people that have signed up. And there is still